This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff Mom Never Told You from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Kristen.
And this is Molly.
So Molly, Stuff Mom Never Told You podcast, we talk a lot about lady things.
True.
Lots of female hormones, makeup, etc. But you know what? Today, let's switch things around. Let's talk about the boys, shall we?
Let's hear it for the boys.
We got this great reader email from a listener, Gordon, in Ontario. And he brought up the recent backlash against the HPV vaccine that prevents sexually transmitted disease, HPV, and therefore can help prevent cervical cancer.
Gardasil.
Gardasil, exactly. And he thought it was interesting that a lot of the backlash against HPV was based on the idea that it would encourage girls to have sex at a young age because they wouldn't have this risk of catching an STD.
Right. And Gordon has really just his finger on the pulse of current events because this is in the news right now, but not about girls. It's actually revolving around boys because Merck, the company that makes Gardasil, is trying to get Gardasil approved for boys to get vaccinated. Right now, it's just for girls to prevent this HPV, but the new development might be that boys get vaccinated too.
Right, because boys can get HPV just like girls, and since a lot of strains of HPV don't show any immediate physical symptoms, a boy might not know that he has HPV, and then he and a lady friend might have adult relations, and then he passes the HPV onto the girl, and then she could actually catch a strain of HPV that could cause cervical cancer. So it seems like boys could be an important part of really solving this this puzzle.
Right. So let's back up real quick and just go over Gardasil, what it does, what it protects against, and what it doesn't. People call it frequently the cervical cancer vaccine, but it's important to note that it's not going to protect directly against cervical cancer.
Right. Gardasil is actually formulated to attack four specific strains of HPV, HPV numbers 6, 11, 16, and 18. And these are the types of HPV that are known to potentially cause cervical cancer. So that's why they call it the cervical cancer vaccine. But like you said, it's actually going after HPV.
But going after cervical cancer indirectly is no small feat because this disease affects and kills nearly 300,000 women per year. I mean, you know, that's a lot of lives that could be saved, which is how Gardasil has been marketed to girls, the One Less campaign. I'm going to be one less girl that's going to get this cervical cancer.
Right. And HPV is also the most common sexually transmitted disease right now in the U.S. We have about 20 million people currently infected with it, according to Centers for Disease Control. And about 6.2 million Americans get a new HPV infection every year. And you got a 50-50 chance of catching it if you're a sexually active adult.
Right. And HPV, like, you know, Kristen was saying, it attacks four strains. And there are, you know, more than 100 strains of this disease. And, you know, one way that it might affect you would be genital warts. That's one way that HPV can manifest itself.
Right. And even though there are more than 100 different types of HPV, only just two of these strains are responsible for about 70% of all cervical cancer cases worldwide. So it seems like Merck has really tapped into a pretty powerful vaccine here.
Right. And their studies uphold that. It shows that it's pretty effective. When they were doing test cases, you know, they looked at nearly 9,000 women who took Gardasil, and they prevented 100% of certain HPV-related cervical cancer. So, I mean, that's a huge step forward, a huge dent in this process.
Right. And the CDC actually just finished up in 2008 a post-marketing test phase to see whether or not girls taking Gardasil were more at risk for certain diseases. And they concluded that there weren't any adverse side effects. So it still has the approval of the FDA. But pretty soon after the FDA approved it, there was a little bit of a public backlash from parents who were concerned about the young age that was being recommended for these girls to get vaccinated.
Right. The FDA was saying you can get the vaccination as young as 9, but really more in the 11 to 12 year old ballpark. And, you know, that was just for some parents way too young to have to explain to a kid why they need this shot, because it's a lengthy process. It's 3 vaccinations over an 8-month period, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have to take your kid into the doctor at the age of 11 3 times to get a shot, you know, they're going to want to know why. And so when you start talking about cervical cancer and HPV, then, you know, people felt you were setting your child up to become sexually active at a very young age.
Right. And the backlash really intensified when a handful of states, including Texas and Virginia, tried to make Gardasil immunization required for 6th grade girls. Parents were up in arms. Some parents, at least, were up in arms over the thought of a state forcing their young daughters to be immunized against sexually transmitted diseases.
Especially with a vaccine where the side effects and the long-term effects aren't very well known, which leads us into the argument of whether boys should get this vaccine. Because now that we're talking about boys potentially getting it, the risks are becoming much more the focus of the conversation. Not so much the issue of promiscuity, but the fact that maybe this vaccine isn't safe for everyone.
Right. I mean, you think of cervical cancer as a gender-specific disease. You know, obviously, boys would not be able to physically get cervical cancer. So that brings up the question of whether or not this should be something that women should take care of exclusively. But that also begs the question of, let's say there is a prostate cancer vaccine that could be available for young girls to take. How would the public react to that? Would we be as hesitant about boys and girls taking a prostate cancer vaccine as we are about cervical cancer, because it specifically is linked to a common STD?
Right. It's the sex cancer, as it was described in one New York Times article. So the fact that, you know, we could, and you know, another article points out if it was breast cancer, it wouldn't be as big a deal to immunize everyone. But because this is, you know, sort of seen as a consequence of sexual activity, people are very leery about having the whole population immunized for it.
Right. And cost effectiveness is another big hurdle in this whole immunization debate, because Gardasil requires a round of 3 separate shots over a period of about 8 months. And each shot costs around $120. So these mothers with sons are wondering why they're going to shell out almost $400 to get their sons immunized against this cancer that they will never get.
Right. Do the risk and the cost outweigh the benefit to the boys when the only benefit they're really getting is the HPV benefit, which is not a small potato sort of thing? I mean, they are protected against genital warts. But, you know, if the big kicker with this drug is cervical cancer, is it worth it to boys?
Right. And I think that you have to look at the big picture of herd immunity, if you will, that a New York Times article brought up. Many of the women who die from cervical cancer can't afford regular gynecological exams to get pap smears that will usually catch it in its earlier stages. And in addition, cervical cancer is most fatal to women who are living in poverty. So chances are these same women are not going to have the $120 per pop to get Gardasil. So by that logic, you would think that the more people, boys and girls, you immunize, the better it's going to be for the entire population.
Right. Basically, if an immunized man sleeps with an unimmunized woman, the infection still stops there because of the immunization. Mm-hmm. And people, I guess, when the whole stuff with girls was going on, didn't really like to point out that if the girl was going to get HPV, it was the guy who gave it to her. You know, it takes two to tango.
Well said, Molly. But one thing that people are still questioning about Gardasil, some parents are still questioning, is this issue of safety. It's a relatively new vaccine. Vaccines don't have the best reputation.
Dirty word.
Right now, people are kind of freaked out by them, but it hasn't been on the market long enough to know what the long-term effects are of these, you know, 12-year-old girls getting immunized.
Right. And if you do any sort of internet search, you're going to come up with tons of parents saying that after a Gardasil vaccine, their daughter came down with something. And this is where, of course, any argument about vaccines is tricky because you're getting into correlation versus causation where, you know, people get a shot and then something turns up later and they wonder, is this related to the shot? But, you know, there are a few conditions. Merck says it's perfectly safe, but if you do a quick search, the most common things that'll come up that might be results of Gardasil are seizures, paralysis, fainting. There was one girl who died from a form of Lou Gehrig's disease that they're trying to tie to Gardasil. So, you know, Merck is constantly evaluating its safety, as is the Food and Drug Administration. But when you've got these kind of risks, then of course someone who's only going to get the secondary benefits of this vaccine is questioning whether they should, you know, expose themselves to that.
Right. It seems like we still have a little ways to go in terms of testing for Gardasil to really calm parents' fears about whether or not it actually is safe. But when it comes to boys, it might be marketed as this, you know, really chivalrous thing to do. You know, this guy is getting vaccinated against cervical cancer. He is saving women.
I know.
With these shots.
Throw that on a date.
I mean, it's pretty compelling. I mean, I don't know if a 10-year-old boy is really going to buy into that marketing so much, but hey, could work.
Right. So if you want to learn more about the cervical cancer vaccine, I know where you can find out.
I'm going to guess it's howstuffworks.com, Molly.
You're right, Kristen. And if you have any comments or questions, be sure to email Kristen and me at momstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands. Not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.